The Money Show. Personal Finance.
Warren Ingram, who is co-founder at Galileo Capital, is a certified financial planner. He is a financial advisor and a regular contributor on The Money Show. An email this evening, Warren Ingram, if I may, launch this at you from Heather and Hugh. Heather and Hugh are lovely people, and they say to us, I wonder if you would be so kind as to direct us to tools which will help us make the best decision for our finances. We do not have the necessary tools or expertise to make the best decision on which route to take. In 15 years, we'll be facing capital exhaustion. We're both 75 years old. We were farmers, we were expropriated, we weren't paid commercial rates, and we had to pay capital gains tax. We have a broker who runs portfolios. We trust him, and he suggested looking at an annuity. He suggested several annuities. The broker's research suggests one may be the best way to go. Might you be able to direct us to independent articles on the subject of annuities, which will point out the shortfalls and help us to understand the risks? Might there be a good overview on the internet? We're a little IT savvy. Might there be an organization who could give us an independent overview? Lots of questions there, Warren, and I think it's worthy of our time this evening just to look at so many people, and I think all of us will run into this problem at some point. The 1% of the 1% will never have to worry, but if you live long enough, you do face the risk of, I like the way they put it, capital exhaustion.
And if you look at their age, they're both 75. That's, if you go back in time to when they were probably in their 40s, the actuaries would have said that, 75 is probably your expiry date according to the actuarial tables in those days. And they're facing the prospect of running out of money in 15 years from now. So, when they're 90, and that's a realistic assumption to make, is that, most of us, if we're in reasonable health, we will live to late 80s, early 90s already. And I think some of the actuaries are pushing it out to about 104 already for women who tend to live longer than men. So this is far from an academic exercise. This is, this is today's reality. And I think people, when times are incredibly uncertain and your money is diminishing, the need or the desire for certainty starts to outweigh almost everything else. And that's where something like an annuity becomes, on the surface, very attractive, because, just to explain them, you basically sign a contract with an insurance company. You go to the insurance company and you say, here is a lump sum of money. I'm going to give you this money, and in exchange for the remainder of my time on earth, you pay me an income stream, and they'll say to you, that's fine. We agreed to pay you, and it's usually a percentage. So they'll say to you, we'll pay you 6.5% or 6.75% a year. And depending on the contract that you sign with them, they might give it a capital guarantee for a period of time, and maybe an income guarantee for a period of time. And if you're really lucky, inflation link as well. So they'll say to you, okay, if you die within the first 5 years of having done this agreement, then we will actually pay out some of the money to your beneficiaries. After 5 years, all bets are off and the money is ours. So that's what the capital guarantee is about. And then the second aspect is we guarantee the income, and we either link it to inflation or sometimes something kind of called a with profits or a smooth bonus kind of a deal, which is where they say, if the times are good, we promise to escalate as much as we possibly can. When times are bad, we'll use some of the profits from the previous years to kind of give you a bit of an increase. So that's the one way. That's the smooth bonus or with profits kind of an annuity. Or the other is we give you an inflation increase. And that inflation increase is not your cost of living. That's the official CPI rate. So they'll say to you, last year CPI was 6, so we're giving you, 6% increase in your income for the year ahead. And for people who are really worried about their money running out in their lifetime, this becomes a very attractive thing to consider. And I must say, if you'd asked me 5 or 10 years ago, I would have said to you, I'm not that excited about these products. That to me tend to favor the insurance company. Is my first concern, and the second is that they're only generally quite attractive when interest rates are high. And we are now in one of those times when interest rates are high, and these products are very directly linked to interest rates. So it might be that while interest rates are at these levels, and who knows how long they are, but it's going to be, you know, at least months, if not a year or two, that annuities might become attractive again. But just understand that they don't, you know, those guarantees are as good as the guarantee of the insurance company that's giving you that, you know, that annuity. And secondly, you know, when you are worrying about income, then the beneficiaries, people who you know, you might want to look after on your death, that's a secondary concern. What you're worried about now is, do I have enough money so I don't become a burden on them or anybody else in my lifetime?
Exactly right. I mean, the best gift you can give your the people we used to call beneficiaries when there was lots of money and life expectancies weren't so long, and people might have expected a bit of an inheritance, but that is by no means guaranteed anymore. And so therefore, you've got to make sure that you're not that burden and that you can... that your money will outlast you, or at least there's a plan in place. And that's why these annuities are attractive. But you've pointed out the pitfalls here, Warren. There are, as far as I can tell, three groupings of annuities, right? The voluntary purchase annuity, the life annuity, and the living annuity. In simple words, because both Heather and Hugh are looking for written examples, and we're not going to give them written examples, we're going to give them audio examples. And this way that you, I think we need to go through them one by one, nice and slowly, just so that we're absolutely clear on each one, because each one will have upsides, each one will have downsides, and we've got to be absolutely clear what might be the best choice for us if we choose to go this way.
Yeah, and so the reason for kind of the breaking them down into the three is we're not sure whether Hugh and Heather have money locked in retirement funds, or if it's money that's in, you know, unit trusts or shares or cash or the like. So assuming that it's not money in retirement funds, then they will be looking at something called a voluntary purchase annuity. So why voluntary? Because the investment industry divides your money up into what they call compulsory money, and compulsory money is a funny term for all retirement funds. So whether you've got an RA, you know, a retirement annuity, a pension fund, a provident fund, or it's now a living annuity, you know, it's something that's retired and paying out an income, all of that would be called compulsory money. So anything that's not compulsory money would then be called voluntary money. And, you know, that very typically for most of us would be our cash, our unit trusts, shares and exchange traded funds. So if that's the case for Hugh and Heather, where they don't have money in retirement funds, then they would be looking at this, at a voluntary purchase annuity. And so the idea there is still that they're giving signing a contract with an insurance company, and then the company offers them a percentage rate. What I don't really like about voluntary purchase annuities is they kind of get sold to you as a little bit more tax efficient, you know, way of investing, because a portion of what they give to you on a monthly basis is considered capital, and then a portion is considered interest. So let's just be very clear. The capital that they're talking about is the capital you sold them in exchange for the annuity. Now they're giving back a portion of your capital to you every month, and then a portion of interest. And what they've done with your money is they've bulked it together with money that they've got from other investors. And they've gone and bought, let's just say, a basket of government bonds, and that's how they can underwrite this guarantee, where they are prepared to give you a guaranteed income, is because they know they're getting the guaranteed income from government bonds and potentially some corporate bonds as well. So I'm not that thrilled with the angle of, you know, gee, this is a tax efficient way of getting income, because, you know, frankly, you can get tax efficient income at 75. A lot of the interest that you earn would be tax free. And that's, you know, that to me sounds very tax efficient. And then equally, you know, buying a kind of a very generic balanced unit trust, you know, drawing income from that, you would also be drawing a portion of your capital back every, you know, every month. And some of it would be interest and dividends and property rent, et cetera.
You're throwing in a bit of a curveball in there, Warren, by saying instead of getting a voluntary purchase annuity, consider then a balanced fund, which is got and balanced by its very nature. It's got property, it's got bonds, it's got commodities, it'll have a whole basket of things that will give you a very nice coverage of the market. Why would you go for that rather than a voluntary purchase annuity? What is the one thing that would attract you to that rather than go the annuity route?
The trigger to me is what are the annuity, so the jargon for this is the annuity rates. What's that percentage that they are promising to give you on your capital? So let's just say that, you know, they're going to say for every million rand you give us, we'll pay you out, let's say, I'm going to stick with that, 6.75% of your capital in a year. If that's the case and that works out to be roughly the income that you need, then 6.75 is not a bad rate. If you look at, for example, interest rates, you could probably lock in somewhere around 7 or 8% a year. But when you lock in that interest rate, let's say with RSA retail savings bonds, it's never going up. It's the rate you're going to get that same interest every year for the rest of time. Whereas the idea of the annuity is that 6.75 next year, they'll be escalating that with inflation. So at least you're getting a measure of inflation protection. So I like that aspect of voluntary purchase annuities when that interest rate is, let's just say 6.75. However, if they say to you, we're going to pay you out 4% on your money per year, and that's going to escalate with inflation. Then I'm thinking about someone needs to go fly a kite, because I'm not giving them my money at 4%. I'm very sure if you put your money into a balanced unit trust and you drew somewhere around 5 or 6% a year, I mean I wouldn't be drawing 6% a year if I'm 55 and retired, but at 75 and retired, I think drawing 6% a year is a very sustainable amount to draw. In which case, I'm not going the voluntary purchase annuity. I'm staying in a balanced unit trust, okay, where I can control, some of the decisions, and it's my capital, and I'm not relying on an insurance company to try and do better than a balanced fund can do with a whole mix of assets. And maybe
let's pause there for a moment, Warren, if we can, because I want to get into life annuities and living annuities and any other thoughts you have on voluntary purchase annuities versus balanced funds. But we need to pause for a moment with Warren Ingram, co-founder at Galileo Capital.
The Money Show. Personal finance with Warren Ingram.
We're trying to help Heather and Hugh's money last. They are 75 years old. They are worried that within 15 years, and they're anticipating, because they were farmers, they're fit and healthy, that they will live to 90, at least. And we hope they do. But we also want to help them make their money last. Thoughts, Warren Ingram at Galileo Capital.
So I think with the voluntary purchase annuities, we've probably given it enough airtime, but maybe just quick summary. If they're paying that rate of 6.75 or higher, it's which might be the case at the moment with interest rates as they are.
But the point is,
that's not a bad deal.
It's a flexible thing that you're committing to long term. When interest rates come down, so does the yield on that voluntary purchase annuity, right?
Well, no, because they're locking in the rate now for life. Okay. The rate. So it won't go down. They're going to say to you at 6.75, that works out to, 67,500 rand a year, as an example, and that will never go down. That's 67.5. That is the guarantee that they're offering. The reason interest rates are important is it's the rate that they're going to offer you at the time. So, but once you've been offered the rate and once you accept it and you've signed the contract, that gets fixed into a rand amount and then it's paid to you forever.
Okay.
So the starting interest rates are critical, but what they do after that becomes less of an issue. So that's why they do have a kind of an attraction right now, because we're very sure that interest rates go down sometime in the future, and then the people buying an annuity at that time will get a not such a great deal, but the people that have bought them today, they wouldn't be losing out. Their rates would stay as they are and potentially escalating with inflation.
Life annuity.
Life annuity and living annuities are linked to retirement funds. So if you've got a pension fund or an RA or a provident fund, and you decide to retire one day and you want an income from your retirement funds, your choices are either a living annuity or a life annuity. A life annuity replicates kind of the old fashioned company pensions, where you would say, I'm retiring, I'm going to be given an income for life, and hopefully that income goes up with inflation. And so a life annuity is very similar to a voluntary purchase annuity. The difference is that it's the only money that can be used to buy a life annuity is retirement fund money. And so that, again, it will be a guaranteed amount of income for your life. And again, there will be variations in terms of how much they will escalate your income every year. So some will be linked to inflation. And for me, that's a no-brainer. You must take that option. Others, they'll say, we will give you a fixed percentage. In other words, you can buy a life annuity, and we're going to pay you an increase of 5% a year every year. I don't like that, because none of us know what inflation is going to do in the future. So, you know, if inflation stays at, you know, 9% a year and you've locked in at 5% for the rest of time, then you really are going to suffer later in life. So I think if you are going to choose a life annuity, again, it's about the rate that they're going to offer you. And I think on life annuities, you know, rates of kind of, you know, 7 or 8% at the moment would be amazing, because that would be going up with inflation over time. And I think a very good idea. Especially if you are in this position where you're really worried about running out of money, or the other grouping of people who might be interested in these are people that retire relatively young and have fantastic health and have a history of longevity in their family. So if you know, at age 55 that you've retired and there's, you know, your family kind of all live to 100 or more, then maybe a life annuity is a winner for you, because longevity is your big risk. The last one, Bruce, is living annuity. So that is
1 minute.
Probably the more popular. 1 minute. You retire, you've got R1 million, you can invest the money in balanced kind of investments, and you can decide every year how much you draw out. Somewhere between 2.5% is the least you can draw every year, up to 17.5%. I don't think that's what they're looking for in this situation. But for people who need a little bit of income from a lot of capital, I love living annuities. And certainly they'll go to your beneficiaries when you die, which for me is also a big benefit.
There we go. Warren Ingram, thank you very much indeed. Comprehensive coverage. Heather and Hugh and everyone else who needs information on making sure that your money outlasts you. Warren Ingram, co-founder at Galileo Capital.